The next coach on the teleconference is Minnesota's Bob Motzko. The Gophers return 18 letter winners from last year's team and place two skaters on the preseason watch list, Ren Pitlick and Tyler Sheehy. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. If you could give us some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great excitement right now as we get started. But you've kind of got two camps. You got coaches, you know, getting to know players, and players getting to know coaches, and it's that feeling out period, you know, with the limited time that we have on the ice right now. But the enthusiasm is high, and really it's just a case right now of two groups getting used to each other as we prepare to move forward. But excitement is high, and we're just excited to get moving.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions now.
Star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question is from Eric Bigot, The Athletic.
Hi, Coach. I've heard coming out of the team so far that hockey sense trumps all when it comes to playmaking on your team. How do you pull that out of this year's squad?
Ask that one again. You kind of lost me at the beginning there.
I've heard a couple players say that hockey sense trumps all when it comes to system and decision-making on the ice. How do you pull that out of this year's team?
Well, it's a confidence thing. I mean, the sport of hockey, you know, obviously coaches are going to put their systems in play and things that you want to accomplish in detail to your game. But, you know, hockey sense outrules all rules, and that's the thing you want. You know, we want to put the foundation of how we play. But, you know, these kids, these young guys have spent a lot of money developing their talents. They're spend a lot of money on hockey sticks, and if they've got the hockey sense to overrule a play, we want them to have the freedom to do it. And I think that's just a process that's going to take months for us to put in. And you know, we have to install the confidence in our players to make the plays within, you know, the systems we want to play. And so far, I'm very excited about how they're starting to grasp everything.
Your next question is from Joe Fennerin, South Bend Tribune.
Coach, just was wondering if you could give us a summary of how things have gone this preseason and what players are standing out for you, particularly among your newcomers.
Well, I think we've been on the ice now, you know, 8, 9, 10 times, and I think it's no different than Duluth right now. We have such limited time, and yet we play we play next week. So we're doing two things, trying to get used to each other, but we want to get a strong foundation in. Which, you know, we're pushing our systems a little faster right now than I want to, because we got to play those two games. But then we've got 3 weeks where we've got one game, one game, one game, and we're going to really, you know, we're going to put emphasis right now on how we want to play against Duluth. Then we can really back it up. And we got, you know, two exhibition games with the Canadian team and another exhibition game with the U.S. National Development Program before we play a one-game shot with North Dakota. So that part of the schedule, as a coach, I like, where we're going to get a lot done. So we're cramming things in right now. So I feel we're behind just a bit, but you can't change it. And I think every coach that's playing with limited practice time, you're going to have that. You know, from a standpoint of players standing out, you know, obviously the players that are returning, you know, I'm not real familiar with a lot of the players. We were in two different conferences, though we did play the last couple of years. It's new. And, you know, and I'll start with leadership and Tyler Sheehy and Rem Pitlick to, you know, have really jumped out of the blocks, I believe, in a leadership role and how hard they're playing and what they want to do. Now, you know, with Sheehy being, you know, his fourth season and Tyler becoming an upperclassman. And, you know, you follow it up with Brent Gates and Scott Reedy and McManus, you know, guys that are excited right now, you know, take on bigger roles in the team, and they're really showing that. And then you got the two workhorses in Remenko and Ramsey who bring that work ethic every day. And that's something that I think is starting to bleed into our team right now, is the work ethic we want to have, and it's being led by guys like that. You know, from the defense standpoint, that's where, you know, a while for our defensemen to sort itself through. And that's we got three young guys that are in there to go back with the five returning players. And if there's an area right now of that we're putting a lot of emphasis in right now, it's in with our defensemen and bringing that core up to speed. And that's going to take a little bit more time. But what we're encouraged by, we think it's going to be there. You know, whatever our decor looks right now, what it looked like on paper now, we know a month, 2 months from now that defensive core is going to be a lot stronger. So, you know, the young players, this freshman class has just got great energy. They don't know anything from the past. You know, they come in wide-eyed, and a couple guys, you know, Sammy Walker and Sampu Ranta really are off to a great start right now. We lost McLaughlin to an injury. He's going to be out about 6 weeks, and we're dealing with that. And unfortunately, but that's just part of it we all live with and deal with. But he'll be back here in a few weeks. So, you know, there's just another, you know, short 30,000 feet looking down at what's going on with us right now. I wish we had more time to practice. I wish we had more time for meetings. And that's the one negative. We're only allowed 4 hours. So if we use any time in meeting time and film time, that counts against our 4 hours. And so we're using all of our time on the ice. And I just want to get through really this week and next week. And then I really think those 3 weeks after that, we're going to make great progress.
Thanks, Coach.
Your next question is from Nathan Wells, Athletic.
Hi, Coach.
Hello.
The Big Ten announced that they're moving to 3-on-3 overtime. As the one coach who has experience with that, what does it kind of bring to college hockey, and have you kind of what does your team kind of have for it?
Well, a couple thoughts on that. One, I'd made a comment in the media right after I'd gotten hired when this was a big debate, and I thought our league already did 3-on-3. I wasn't aware that Big Ten didn't do it, so that tells you where I was at, because that's the only thing I've known. The biggest thing with 3-on-3 are the players love it and the fans really enjoy it. And I think that's part of the game that's in now. And obviously the NHL, once they adapted it, us as fans love it. We stay tuned when we're watching NHL games for the 3-on-3. So do the players. And so I think from that standpoint, though it's not perfect how we're doing it, I love the fact that it's in our league, and I really like the fact that we've got three leagues in the West all doing it. And, you know, most of our kids all in the West here from the same region, the same backgrounds, and we're on the same page. And that was really the hope that college hockey can all get on the same page, because there isn't a perfect system. And I'm excited that we're doing it. And I know the fans and the players love it. And I like the fact that the 5-on-5, you know, the pairwise shuts down on the 5-on-5. That's a personal thing for me. And I think because the computer plays such a big part, I like that would be my vote, that the computer shuts off at 5-on-5. And then let's let the fans and the players enjoy playing it out. And there is going to be a winner. And I think that's a step in the right direction.
Thanks, Coach.
Your next question is from Gary Santanello, New York Times.
Good morning, Bob, and congratulations on the new position.
Thank you.
You know, I know schedules are cyclical, and it just seems like this year a lot of the Western teams aren't coming, you know, east of the Hudson River. Do you think it's important for teams, and I know the Big Ten schedule is going to be tough enough, do you think it's important for teams to either, you know, travel east or play different styles before you get to the NCAA tournament, where you don't know where you might end up?
Yes, and I'll answer too. The last 13 years, I made it a point in our scheduling that I I'm saying it in recruiting now. I want our players going east two times in their career. So if we can schedule, and we're working on that. Of course, all the scheduling was done for this season, and we are not going to hide from a tough schedule. We will go on the road. We will travel. And that is something we're building in right now. The one thing that I'm learning very quickly, though, taking this job, I do have a responsibility out here that, you know, we continue as much as possible because to play the rivals we have out here.
Yep.
In North Dakota and in St. Cloud and Mankato and Bemidji. And we haven't played the Colorado schools and we did schedule Colorado College in the future here coming up. And yet we are reaching out right now. I want our program. So I can't answer for college hockey. I can only answer for myself. We want to be playing on the East. We want to be playing, you know, Hockey East, ECAC, any conference. And I think it's healthy for us to be on the road, prepare us late in the season to play. And you do see some programs that hide and don't take the programs on the road. I think that's wrong, and we sure want to do it. I do have a boss, and I do have to answer, but they've heard me, and let's let our schedule play out and see how we answer that in the next few years.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to seeing St. Cloud and Boston twice this year.
All right. Awesome.
Well, Coach, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thanks.